Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Mr. Jesse Billington, and tonight I can joyfully welcome back to the show Miss Ellie Mae Taylor and Mr. Timo Albers Daly. How are you both?
I'm good, thank you. Getting over, I think, the flu that I've had for like 2 weeks, which has been fun, but other than that, I'm good.
Thriving, surviving. Timo, how are you?
Thriving. Not so much.
I am thriving, a little bit more so than Ellie Mae, from the sounds of that, if she is, it's not convincing. I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. It's been another busy day in my world, road testing a 1995 MGF, which was going really well until the brake caliper fell off the front driver's side wheel. But hey, we put it back on in a car park somewhere in the Midlands and kept soldiering on in we never leave a man behind spirit. The usual normal things.
You always manage to break a car.
Yeah, something always seems to go wrong when I'm off on some sort of photo shoot. Had relatively
I'm
severe
beginning to think
failure.
It's not the cars.
They're not my cars. They're someone else's duty to maintain. And this one had just passed its
MOT. I mean,
MOT
not that
well.
Your track record with maintaining old cars goes particularly well either, but
maintenance is fine. Operating, different. But we'll see how that goes. I should have an engine back for the MG sometime later this week. But that's
Dude,
not
God,
the point.
Is that still not over? Continue.
Yeah, that saga is still going on. More on that later. Yep. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the 2025 Formula One season, which is very much about to kick off. We are recording this on Wednesday night. The Australian Grand Prix is this weekend, so we ought to lay down some predictions for the upcoming 24 races that'll take our sport around the world once more. We've asked friends of the show to make their predictions as well again, and have opened up the polls to the general public for an added amount of madness. I also then put all the options through a randomizer to truly see how well we know this sport. So we've got sort of the metric of the general amalgamated intelligence of the general public, the general amalgamated nonsense of a randomizer, and some friends who know what they're talking about. So we'll kick off with constructors, and we'll just sort of whiz through our top three and any outliers that I've spotted while collating the data. Ellie Mae, your top three.
McLaren are winning. Followed by Ferrari and then Mercedes.
Interesting calls. Timo, I'll let you read out yours and mine as they are the same.
Yes, and correct, because McLaren aren't winning. It's going to be Ferrari. It's our year, Jesse, that's what I hear. McLaren will get P2, though, and then Red Bull, because even at a compromised level, they're still going to be a stronger team than Mercedes. I'm gonna bet, and as Jesse put me in charge of it, he thinks the same thing and is therefore tethered to that train of thought, whether he wants to be or not.
I do agree with the train of thought. Actually, kicking off the season by agreeing with Timo early on, and
that's an outlier.
That's dangerous waters, really. But yeah, I think that even a slightly crippled Red Bull might be better than a bit of a hodgepodge for Mercedes. We'll see how it goes. The big outlier on the constructors' predictions is a friend of the show, Jenny Craig, putting Sauber in P6. She did fill this out for me very late at night. Very neat handwriting, has Jenny. She handwrote all of hers. Everyone else just sort of messaged
me back.
Handwrote
it as well.
she handwrote it and sent me a picture. It's incredible. 10 out of 10 for effort, if we can award points for that. But Sauber P6 has left me perplexed.
I tell you what, if they do finish in P... They don't finish P10, quite frankly. You need to find that piece of paper or print out a nice version of it, frame it, and then that could be her Christmas present for going, you know what? Fair play.
I will keep hold of the picture she sent me, and should Sauber finish P6, I'll frame it for her. There we go.
Hülkenberg?
She's got some strong opinions on Nico Hülkenberg. I mean, we'll get into the driver's title where she's put Hülkenberg in P12 and Bortoletto P13. So clearly she thinks something's up at Sauber. But anyway, drivers, Ellie Mae, your top three.
Norris is winning the championship, followed by Leclerc, then Piastri.
Timo, you and I again agree that the two Ferraris are going to be in the top three and there'll be a McLaren with them, but we've got a bit of a disagreement as to quite which ones and whom and where.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad, first of all, that Ellie Mae is finally drinking the Kool-Aid I gave her for Christmas, because it's showing in some of these predictions already. I want to say that Lewis gets it straight away with Ferrari, but I'm going to go with my head over my heart on this one. I'll say Leclerc is going to get the title this year, as you have also said. Hamilton will get P2, though, hence constructors. And then I think Piastri is going to get third position. I've got a good feeling with Piastri. He's got that contract extension now, and not that he needed it, but he's just very comfortable there. His second season was pretty darn good, so his third season, I think we're going to see something special, but not quite the title.
I think he's building up to it. He's had a good run up, and like you said, he's solidified with that contract extension. But I think he is still up against Norris, who proved himself quite amicably last season. I think we're going to see Leclerc first, Norris second, and Hamilton third. You've got a point of contention.
The only point of contention being that somehow, despite, again, quick question for you two, because again, you've watched the season last year. Who won the championship?
Max Verstappen.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought. So why on earth in Fantasy F1 is Norris the most expensive driver and
I
Verstappen
don't
isn't?
know. I don't know. I didn't pick the prices for Fantasy F1.
I mean, there was a lot of questionable pricing going on, but the fact that the guy who finished second and had two races to like had like just having two races in hand before he won, bearing in mind it. You just think, how's that? Who's how? But anyway.
I think because it's going into the season, McLaren seemed to be the stronger team, so that in theory, Norris to do better than Verstappen.
I think that's a logical argument to make, but I feel that logic only gets you so far on this podcast anyway. You know that well by now. Drivers'
Stop you from making these
Championship.
predictions, it's fine.
Yeah, Drivers' Championship. There's no major outliers really. I think it's strong across the board. I'd say there's some interesting shouts from, actually, my girlfriend's made an interesting one of Carlos P8 and Liam Lawson P10. Oh, one person who did make an interesting driver's prediction actually is Fraser, friend of the show, Fraser. He's given me a list of 21 drivers, interestingly enough, and Doohan finishing in 21st, and importantly, Colapinto Pinto finishing P17.
I'll be
So,
right back. I'm going to have to go have words with him for a minute. Getting my
yeah.
boy doing like that.
I think while it makes him an outlier when it comes to these predictions, I don't want to say there's a risk of him being incorrect, that could be a scoreboard we see.
Possible,
That's
definitely.
suggesting, though, that he doesn't score any points in any of his races, and yet somehow both Sauber's and potentially a certain RB do manage it to the point that they get above whatever Doohan can do.
We could be in for an interesting season. Let's not write it out before we've seen the first race.
Has to do badly as well to be replaced with Colapinto.
If you're doing
And
worse than the stakes, surely you'd be replaced.
you know the reliability of an Alpine as well.
And the fact that they've been running the entire previous two or three seasons with a completely misaligned wind tunnel. They basically just didn't have it set up properly, which is why most of the upgrades they brought to that car just never worked.
Two things on that. As much as that's funny because France, on the other hand, we don't have to worry about Ferrari now, Jesse, because this is our year. So we can now say and pivot to this is Alpine's year. Therefore, we do not have to worry about such things.
Yeah, maybe that is something we could say. I've got a
I say
shoe
we
in.
again, I'm tethering you to this as well for no
Yeah,
particular
I
reason.
maybe I'd rather you didn't tie me to this one. I've got a shoot with Alpine road cars at the start of July that I would like to at least attend in good faith and not be stoned to
And
death
this
by the
is
French.
going to help with that
Okay,
because
as long
I'm
as you're saying
saying
that
that
it's
this
their
year will
year
be
in
their
that they will
year.
improve.
In a pot,
Okay.
yes.
I don't want to be stoned to death in Dieppe. That would make my day very uncomfortable. We'll move on to the podium sitters. We've all got some interesting outliers here. Ellie Mae, you've got quite the collection. Timo, certainly also, and me, actually. Ellie Mae, we'll start with yours.
So, I mean, I don't think any of these are outliers because they're clearly going to get podiums. But I've gone for Sainz, Albon, Gasly, Alonso, Hülkenberg, and then in brackets, I put Antonelli and Lawson because I don't know whether they're outliers or not.
It's a top four team. I don't think
Yeah.
it's that far-fetched to call them sort of an outlier podium sitter, but
Top four
certainly
teams with potentially not top four team drivers.
this is true. Yeah. So it's sort of that six of one, half dozen of the other.
Yeah, eight drivers.
Yeah. Timo, you've made much of a similar argument, really.
Yeah, both Alpines, because I have faith in doing like someone. And both Williams, because oh, it could be Dayer as well. And Alonso, because it just seems criminal for him to not be on the podium at least once.
I think it'll happen at some point for him. I've gone for Antonelli, Sainz, Ocon, and Albon. They seem to be sort of my outliers. Again, it's sort of that thing of I think Williams are going to be an interesting one to watch this year, and I'm excited for it. I think we could see something quite impressive from Grove. I don't quite, obviously, the metric about by which I mean impressive is relatively a low bar, but hey, we'll see. Hülkenberg on the podium finally. Ellie, may you share that with Jenny? I'm a bit perplexed by it because he's going to be doing that in the Sauber.
Yeah, it's
Well, to be
going to be.
fair, if you'd said this time last year that Gasly and Ocon would get a double Alpine podium in Brazil behind only Verstappen, you'd have been asking what on earth is wrong with us to an extent, not knowing the weather conditions or anything else at that point, and considering where they were at the start of last season. So it could be one of those kind of situations. It doesn't have to be. I think a lot of, at this point in the year, everyone will assume it's going to be like before the summer break or something. No. It could be at any point. As long as it happens once, doesn't matter where.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and would you a crazy race or like a crazy race winner? We haven't had them for a while. I feel like the last time would have been what, like 2020 with Gasly, maybe?
2021 Ocon Budapest.
Yeah, we haven't had a crazy race winner for a while, certainly. So we'll that
So
yeah.
would you want?
We're long overdue one for sure. I'll go with that. We'll see. Maybe the opening round will be one because the weather is set to be a bit changeable and there's six rookies on the grid. So we'll see how that pans out. Speaking of that sort of fortuitous circumstances that may allow for an interesting winner, the most DNFs. Ellie May, you've broken mine and my girlfriend's heart with this one.
Ocon.
Yeah. I think
He
you've filled mine up even more.
DNFs a lot, so why break the habit of a lifetime?
He DNF'd a lot in a bad Alpine because it kept breaking. That's not really his fault as much.
Yeah,
Doesn't
but
matter if it's his fault or not. You just asked if it's a DNF.
exactly. He may have that, he might have brought that to Haas, and plus he can be quite a harsh driver to fight against. If the midfield battle's quite tight, then he may.
I hear he's been training with Magnussen over the winter break to hear about what's just the ballsiest kind of moves that just aren't going to work. And he's going, I'm going to carry your legacy forward.
Exactly, we need a new Magnussen, and that's Ocon.
Imagine them as teammates.
Don't agree with what you're saying. Timo, you've got some slightly more broader ideas or slightly more sort of well-trod pathways, more so for DNFs.
Well, logically, there was only ever one answer for me for this one, which was just go for default and say Stroll. But then I remembered that Hadjar's on the grid this year and thought, if that happens a couple of times, it's more likely to happen more often because, well, I've watched him race for the last 2 years. And when he gets in a bit of a tiff with himself and with anything, quite frankly, it's great team radio, but also it kind of breeds more of the same and is then something that would qualify for most DNFs in a season, and you'd end up going to see him in Abu Dhabi with broken trophy going, this seems appropriate to give you.
I mean, if you watched his final feature race for F2, that was very nearly almost a DNF, and it was a heroic attempt at getting back out there. But yeah, I think he's a likely candidate, especially given we don't know much about how the RB is going to perform.
There was an interview with Dirksen that Inside F2 did over the winter break, and talking about Abu Dhabi and him overtaking Hadjar and being very confused for a few moments because he thought he'd overtaken him on pace and was leading the race, and was going, "How on earth have I done this?" And then someone came on the radio and, "You've just slapped him." I was like, "Oh, that makes a lot more sense." I didn't think I knew I was doing all right here. I didn't think I was doing that well. I was trying to stay out of the title race.
Yeah, some strange stuff. I've also gone for Hadjar. I think you said he's sort of potential to get wound up and have a few silly mistakes. And I just think it'd be hilarious to see the funny excursion into the barriers we saw at Baku, where both campuses suffered hilarious brake failure and just sort of plummeted on at term one, if we saw that happen again with the RBs, because I think the radio messages from both Isaac Hadjar and Yuki Tsunoda would earn them both a considerable amount of penalties from the FIA for swearing.
And they're both quite small, aren't they?
Mm.
I think that'd just be a funny fight to watch.
Yeah, especially if they crashed into each other, sort of.
I mean, like a proper fisticuff side of the track fight that we've not had in decades, sort of
Yeah,
thing. But
NASCAR style sort of duking it out. Yeah.
you can't damage such a beautiful car. It's not
You
going behind.
can when it's the grimmest one on the
It's
grid.
in, no, it's in
Oh, I
this.
forget you weren't here for the livery rating, so you don't know that Ellie Mae and I called it the best looking car.
That's a good enough reason not to listen to that episode because how wrong you two are.
Oofed. We won't invite you back on.
No,
That's all
go
right.
away. Do you have the power to kick him off Zoom right now?
Probably could.
Yeah, do it. Bye.
Oh, I've just got a message from Fraser, who's inside F2 have just posted their 2025 predictions. So, interesting to
Yes.
see how mine tally up against everyone else's.
Badly,
Well,
I'd imagine.
in theory, you should do better than me, considering
Did you just
I don't
guess?
watch F2.
Did you just simply guess?
Kind of, but I feel like there was some logic behind it. And
That's
apparently,
what my excuse, and we've seen how well that's gone.
did you apply astrology to it? Did you go through and find the drivers and like check their star signs and go, they're gonna do well? And because that seems like a far more you way of doing it.
I didn't think of that. I should have done that. I don't know who's going to have a great year this year in terms of
I
like.
kind of want her to go and do that now, and then for her to have her fly on the wall, balls to the box kind of predictions be just more correct than all of the stuff that she then goes and researches.
I was going to say, we're going to have to do a bonus episode off the back of this where she does the F1 and F2 grids based off their astrology.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that now.
Yeah.
But in that episode, it's going to be purely in your Somerset accent.
Oh, yeah, no
Oh.
telephone voice. Everything with a rolled R. Anyway, outliers when it comes to DNF. Doohan and Ocon are technically the outliers, as they were only voted for once. Hadjar and Stroll are by and large the favourites when it comes to this challenge. The next question we all asked was when, if they do, will they swap Liam and Yuki? And I'm the outlier entirely for this one because I think they'll have done it by Spain. Everyone else thinks it won't happen at all. Timo, though, you have something to say about RB. Is it again about their livery again?
No, although I'll
Oh.
take the opportunity to say I don't like it.
You have no taste.
Again, I have differing taste.
It's very poor taste.
I
Peasant.
mean, you insult yourself in the process there, but there we go. I've come, well, not come with the idea. I've kind of gone with Fraser's idea that he gave me earlier inadvertently that RB and Red Bull and Helmut Marko being what they are. Hadjar now is the driver with the target on his back from all the other juniors. And if Arvid Lindblad can hit the ground running in the way that it wouldn't be too surprising for him to do, it's not too far-fetched to presume that he could replace Hadjar at some point over the course of the season. So I'm going to say that. As a bold prediction, my first potentially bold prediction of the year that Lindblad replaces Hadjar at RB after the summer break.
Ooh.
Has a F3 2024, half a season in 2025, and F2, and then goes straight into F1.
I'm going to jot that down at the bottom of the big season one as bonus prediction from Timo. Lindblad replaces Hadjar
Because he's won most
halfway.
of what he's been in pretty quickly, and he's just won the Formula Oceania Championship, which is his first championship win in single seaters, which is a nice way to tee yourself up before an F2 campaign. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's not a bad shout. I think Lindblad is a pretty nippy driver.
And it also screws up your whole question then, and I find that quite fun.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Next on the list was the fastest pit stop, and I think by and large it was a shout for McLaren really on this one. A couple of people saying Red Bull, Ben Wellham and Jenny Craig. The problem with Ben Wellham is he started out as being like our baseline
The
control variable, but the
one.
problem is he's since started watching Formula One, so now understands it and makes relatively logical predictions compared to when we first had him on. So he's not the sort of perfect idiot that I set out for him to be. He's become educated and therefore ruined why I started asking him to do these.
That's what I was for the F2 predictions.
Possibly you were the control variable for Fraser
Oh,
Ford.
yeah.
You were his scientific process.
He's going to be getting a lot of angry messages after this podcast.
From Ellie Mae, I'm messaging him at the moment as well because he, but anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens. But yes, at fastest pit stop, generally it seems to be McLaren, but there's a few votes for Williams, Timo, and the outlier is Haschap, who thinks it's going to be Alpine.
Well, they've got to do
He's
something
not
right,
well.
haven't they?
Yeah.
And that's keeping doing.
We'll see on that one. Battle of the Rookies was the next question, and I do have to stipulate by this we do not mean Liam Lawson. If you do think we should have included Liam Lawson in this, comment. There'll be available spaces to comment on YouTube and Spotify. Let us know if you think Liam Lawson technically counts as a rookie. He's done more than two races, so in the FIA's eyes, he's not a rookie. And I believe by doing more than six, he would no longer have to wear rookie plates when racing in the UK. In sort of basically anything that's not F1 or 2 or 3. So by every measurable conceived, he is not a rookie in my eyes, in my mind, and many official adjudications. So rookies outside of Lawson, who are we going for? Ellie Mae.
Well, mine was Lawson, but you did that just out of spite.
No.
Yeah. Just
Can
a
you kick
spite.
yourself off the Zoom call?
I
Yeah,
probably could, but
go
that would end the entire thing, and then there'd be no recording, and then there'd be no podcast, and many
No,
people, at least 12 people, would be quite upset.
you then make me the host because then we've kicked Timo off, we've kicked you off. Then it's just me, the voice of reason.
The voice of Bristol.
Let's not go that far.
Well, seeing as I'm may or may not be allowed Lawson, I've gone for Antonelli.
I think it's a reasonable choice, is the one
The
I went
safe
for.
option.
Yes, compared to Doohan.
I like to be bored and I believe in my people.
He's got six races to score enough points to not be overtaken by the other rookies.
At least six races.
I don't know. Has anyone
Until it
checked in on?
happens, it's not
We don't
happened.
know what Flavio Briatore is thinking, which is a dangerous thing.
Flavio Briatore is the kind of guy that would have an Elvis Presley style death, and you wouldn't be surprised. So we can't predict anything with him.
Yeah,
He might change
true.
his mind in 5 minutes' time and decide, you know what, doing's the best thing ever.
He's got an
You
interesting
never
sex
know. He does have an
life.
interesting
What,
sex
sorry?
life,
He's got an interesting sex
Oh,
life.
which is the name of the group chat that we all
I
post.
so immediately regret going, what did you say?
Just so you have to hear the words Flavio Briatore and sex life in the same sentence for at least the fourth time in a row. Outlier, another one from Jenny Craig, who's going for Gabriele Bortoletto, which is a big ask. Clearly,
I
she
like her
genuinely
thinking.
thinks Sauber are doing something interesting this year. It really depends on how I sort of do the metrics for this, whether I do it on sort of how much of a team's points haul that the driver contributes to, in which case maybe Bortoletto will come out on top on this one. I'm not
Well, I
saying this
think
is.
you've got to do it in a way of whoever's higher in the championship
In which
against the
case
others.
Bortoletto is screwed, in which case Antonelli is going to win, yeah.
You don't know that for certain, though.
No, we don't know that for certain. I do think it puts Doohan at a disadvantage if he's only racing for six races this year. Anyway,
Allegedly.
allegedly, probably. Anyway, he will befall the same issues that befall technically like his like god sibling through Michael Schumacher, which is Mick, and will have a fairly sort of
He
terrible
made it for
career.
more than six races, so it's
True,
fine.
this is true. Mick did last more than six races. Anyway. Most damage. Who is going to generate the biggest bill for the teams this year when it comes to drivers? Ellie Mae, again, you break my heart. You've picked my favorite YouTuber.
He does YouTube now?
Yeah, he's got
Yeah.
a YouTube channel. It's quite fun.
I don't care.
You could have said your favorite actor.
That too, yeah,
That's
he's
Lewis
in.
Hamilton.
No, have you not seen the French rom-com drama thing that he's in, where he cucks a guy on his wedding day, and basically the whole conceit of the TV series is following this guy who's been cucked by Esteban Ocon, which is the funniest possible idea for a TV show.
I know I've often complained that we don't have enough original ideas in television and film, but I don't know if that's quite the way I wanted that solved.
I need to go. I haven't watched it yet. I want to go and watch it because it looks funny as all hell.
Anyway, I've gone for Ocon.
In case that wasn't clear already.
If in case that wasn't, in case people aren't up to date with the news outside of F1, it is
In case you
Ocon.
don't watch French sit rom-coms, well, you probably
Yeah.
should.
In theory, if he's
Brackets, you
got
have a
the
life.
In theory, if he's got the most DNFs, he's got the most damage.
Not necessarily. You can simply DNF because something breaks, which doesn't count as damage. Whereas if you do like a Sergio Perez and obliterate your car in Monaco, a lot of damage, not many DNFs. It's sort of, we'll
Okay,
see
then
how.
he only has to crash, do a big crash once, and that's it.
Yeah, and I think Ocon has moved beyond that in his career. Timo, who are you going for? Most damage.
Kind of just, I'm disagreeing with anime, but I kind of want her to be right now just for that one big crash to break your heart even further. But in case that doesn't happen, as much as again my instinct says Stroll, I'm gonna say Hadron, which will then help my other theory of Mr. Lindblad coming in and replacing going here in my seatmate.
Bold
Also,
one.
where's the rest of my car?
Yeah, why are there only 3/8 of my car? I also think Hadjar is going to have a fairly big damage bill coming his way. Think sort of like early years Tsunoda, sort of a lot of small accidents that really start to rack up. Outliers for this, Liam Lawson and Ollie Bearman. I think Lawson is a fair shout because he's going to be pushing hard to try and be on pace with Verstappen from the off, and that might
I don't
result in
think
a
he
few
is.
shunts. You don't think so?
No, I
I
don't think
think
he cares.
he's.
I think he knows he's not going to be able to beat Verstappen because he's such a well-rounded driver now that if he was going up against Verstappen at a similar point in his career that Lawson is, then that'd be one thing. But he's going up against a four-time champion. I think he's just going to want to learn as much from him and be that number two driver that Perez was. Whereas Behrman, it's more likely because he's going to be pushing, because he's got Ocon, and Ocon's beatable. And he's got confidence from last year from his performances there. So I think of the two of them, Liam's more of an outlier because that's indicating he's going to be a different kind of driver than what people who voted for him think he is.
He's just an unbothered Gen Zer. He's like Piastri.
Also, he's not got his biggest rival on the grid there, Sergio Perez, because he won.
What
He
do you
really.
mean his biggest rival? He's his number one fan. That's what he showed him in Mexico.
Yeah, that, oh, that's what it means. I forgot, of course. Yeah, I forgot that's what it means. It's I'm your number one fan. I'll see how that goes down next time out in public.
You
Um, could
do that really on a dodgy in pub somewhere late at night. That'd be a great place to try that out. I think that's what you should do.
at a football match to try and show my allegiance to a certain team and just go, I'm your number one fan. Yeah, I think that do it at Millwall. I think that would go really well for me. If you know anything about football, that will not end well for me.
Or just go
If
make friends at the police station. Go, I'm your number one fan.
that probably would also end badly, especially if you're in America. Don't do that. The final question we put to people for their predictions was, when will baby Verstappen be born? And I think I've got the outlier with this one of Monaco. I think it's the one that's the most furthest into the calendar compared to all the other predictions. Of
Nope.
I know, is Canada after Monaco this year, I think?
It's after Monaco every year.
Oh yeah. Okay, then Timo, I think you and possibly some others have the outlier then. Goes back and checks notes. Canada, what are rounds 5 and 6? Because that's the call from the general public.
Saudi Arabia in Emirates, I think, or Miami, maybe.
Miami
Ooh,
in Saudi.
okay.
I think it is between Saudi and Miami. I've gone Miami because I think it should be,
It will be born by Miami.
yeah. It's, I mean, you've had to, I've kind of had to do it of when did I think baby Verstappen was conceived?
Which
And
isn't
then,
something you want to
see,
think about
I
too
remember
much.
this conversation as much
Yeah.
as I wish I didn't.
Yeah. Don't really want to think about the conception of baby Verstappen too greatly, but it's something we
Would it
must
help if I drew
contemplate.
pictures for you?
Please don't. I don't want to see any imagery based on that act. So yeah,
Where's
this
the AI when I need it?
I So this one is entirely a guesswork from a lot of us. We're basing it off of when Kelly Piquet first announced the pregnancy and sort of winding back from there by about a month, I think, and then obviously
Yeah,
go
more
from
than
there to
that.
nine.
You don't announce that you're pregnant 4 weeks into pregnancy.
True. You'd have
He doesn't
suspicions,
announce
though.
his pregnant period anyway.
Yeah, you don't know. I could be pregnant right now and I haven't announced it.
He
Yeah,
doesn't go to gym. That's what that is.
2025, anything can happen. Okay, so essentially we're taking shots in the dark, much like Max Verstappen did one night about maybe 9 months ago. And the guesses seem to be Ellie Mae, Miami, Timo Canada, myself, Monaco, a bunch of other people going around the Imola Miami range, sort of Jeddah possibly at the earliest. Bahrain as well is a call from James and Henry. So we'll see what happens. There's suddenly a race that Max Verstappen appears at very tired and is sort of like,
I just think he'll get a team radio at one of the two races of Miami or Canada and go, it's happening. He just pulls over and goes, oh, fuck this. It's Miami. It's boring anyway. I'm going to go off and do something that's important.
like a full sort of yes, no is having Verstappen's baby style sort of Twitter
How
shit
long?
post.
It's the kind of thing that would be the start of a film where he's athlete in the middle of his element, and then he gets the news that is way more important than the stuff he's doing, as he kind of talked about after winning in Vegas last year, and pulls over, and you just kind of then follow him in this one shot take of gets out of car, walks to another car, camera gets in car, drives off, gets on plane, gets to suitable location, walks into hospital, gets gown on, watch baby give birth, brings corner and goes, I'm done, and
Perhaps
then.
that's why he bought a new jet, so he could get to location where baby is being born faster and more securely. Because he bought a new jet in the off season as well, and a boat.
It's always good to have a spare jet.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to need it. See Taylor
These
Swift for more.
days you can, I mean, depending if it's like a high risk pregnancy or whatnot, you can plan your delivery date. So he could they could be born outside of a race weekend so that he can be there.
I mean, I'm not saying it will be born in a race weekend. I'm just saying which race weekend do we think it'll be born closest
Well,
to?
32 of Miami.
Yeah.
But I guess Miami, even though I've picked Miami would be the worst one for, or maybe
Depends where
Australia.
she is.
When it's going to
Yeah.
be Australia. But, well,
He
she's
might
going
send her
to
to a
be in.
location ahead of time, making the same prediction
No, because
himself
you
and going, you know
can't.
what, Ellie Mae is right. We'll send her to Miami 4 months in advance, and she's just got to stay there.
Yeah, just book out a
That
maternity
baby's going
wing.
to be American, whether we want it to be or not. Actually, that's a good reason to not do it.
Yeah.
Send him somewhere else.
Perhaps I'm right with
Send it.
Monaco. Perhaps.
I'm right with Canada because that'll be really funny these days.
Oh, yeah. But then eventually it'll become American when it comes to 51st state.
Then it won't matter either way. Covering bases.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to find out. I don't get why this is the most hotly debated of all of the predictions we've made for this season, but there we go. That's the nonsense that you subscribe to this podcast for. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the first episode that we're coming out this week. If you just leave Spotify playing, it'll probably pick the next one, which is going to be our preview for the Australian Grand Prix, which we are about to record. Anyway, in the meantime, if people do take a bit of a gap, Timo, where can the people find you?
You can find me over on everything at F1, where I am writing Formula One, Formula Two, Formula Three, F1 articles, and IndyCar articles, where I'm also the editor over there.
Nice. Ellie Mae, where can the people find you, should you even wish to be found?
I don't really wish to be found these days, but I'll be working and working and working a bit more.
Okay, Ellie Mae is a recluse, and if you'd like to
You
find
Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
yeah if you'd like to find more of me, you can pick up the latest issue of Classic Car Weekly. The one that's out now sees me driving a 1967 Morris ambulance celebrating 110 years of the London Ambulance Service.
Does that one break down too?
It does in the middle of Sevenoaks and cause a huge traffic jam, yes. There is also a video out about it on the Classic Car Weekly YouTube channel, and tomorrow we'll be
Is it you on
recording.
the local news
No, but it is.
causing bother?
We do have a piece to camera from Ian Skelton and myself, where we've broken down for the first time in the ambulance. And you can also listen to the Classic Car Weekly podcast, which we do, of course, every week, giving you a deeper dive into behind the scenes of what goes into making the nation's favorite Classic Car Weekly
You do
publication.
writing.
I do writing. This is why I have a sub-editor who checks what I've written to make sure it makes sense grammatically. You can also find me on the internet, on social media, at Jesse on Cars. There's pictures there and all sorts of things. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again in about 30 seconds' time when Spotify auto plays our preview to the Australian Grand Prix.